Glad to have you all out. You know, I don't think anything like this has happened in my lifetime. This is like a history-making event. Glad you all are out. I see some of you keeping a distance between you and the others around you, and that is okay. That is all right. For those of you who are at home watching live stream, we welcome you. Glad to have you here with us. I was notified a little bit earlier. We even have some folks from other churches visiting with us today because their churches are not meeting, so you all are welcome also. We are, as a congregation, rapidly approaching the end of our sermon series taken from 1 Peter. We've entitled it Self-Identify. The sermon that I've prepared for today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. But I've put that in the top drawer of my desk. We will look at that next Sunday. This morning I'm calling an audible. An audible is when the quarterback changes the play when he comes up to the line of scrimmage. So things have been unfolding rapidly. And I am changing our approach this morning. We owe a special debt of gratitude this morning to our staff and to the media team because literally hourly we've been changing. As recent as this morning, as recent as the beginning of the music time, things have been changing. Someone gave me this yesterday. I think it's a good way to start. Instead of greeting each other with a holy kiss, Romans 16:16, greet each other with a holy wave, COVID-19. That's not scriptural necessarily, but that's kind of where we are. COVID-19 is affecting and impacting everything. I found out last night that for health reasons, the size of crowds had to be restricted to less than 250. So we decided just yesterday evening to separate the two groups the way we are this morning, and that's why everybody's had to scramble to make this happen. They're watching over there on the live screen. Talk about COVID-19 is everywhere. Dominates the news. There are conflicting reports about the severity of it, about the spread of it, about how to combat it. The reason we're changing our sermon plan this morning is because we here at First Baptist Church here in Pflugerville, we're going to do something about it this morning. We're going to do something powerful about it this morning. We're not going to just be observers. We're going to be engaged in the conflict. Friday morning, I received this notification from the Southern Baptist Convention, which the acronym for that is SBC. SBC Executive Committee President and CEO Ronnie Floyd, SBC President J.D. Greer, and the SBC Great Commission Council are calling all Southern Baptists throughout more than 47,500 churches to commit to a dedicated time of prayer this Sunday, March 15th, 2020. And of course, that time of prayer is aimed at COVID-19. Then, Friday afternoon, President Trump tweeted this: "It's my great honor to declare Sunday, March 15th, as a national day of prayer. We are a country that, throughout our history, has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. No matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn toward prayer during or in an act of faith." This morning, let's talk about bathing COVID-19 in prayer. The powerful thing we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray. We're going to pray as a church. We're going to pray as a people. We're going to intercede with the Lord. We know He's going to listen to us. We know He's going to answer us. So, and by the way, I'm not going to be up here by myself this morning. There are others who are going to join me, some of our deacons. I'll introduce them when the time comes. you'd be praying for them, because standing up before the congregation on Sunday morning is not what they do every Sunday. So as you might be nervous, so they're going to be nervous. And we're going to pray for you guys as you come. I want you to listen to a couple scripture verses. We're going to kind of set the stage here this morning. Psalm 18, this is David praying for deliverance. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. The ropes of death were wrapped around me. Torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. That's kind of what we're facing right now with the virus. I called the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. You know, there are a lot of things that jump out to me there as I read through this. I guess, first of all, is all these adjectives that David is using to describe God and his strength and his power as a refuge and a mountain and a rock of salvation. During this time of deliverance, David is turning to God and is recognizing that God is a powerful, powerful God. David's putting his confidence in God, and he knows God can deliver him. But you know the other thing that I'm noticing here? Now, I mentioned a while ago that 47,500 Baptist churches are being called to prayer today. I don't know if all of them are in prayer or not. One of the news articles in the Austin Statement said the Southern Baptist Convention is allowing Baptist churches autonomy this morning. You need to know, they don't give us permission to be autonomous. We are autonomous. We are autonomous. So I don't know how many of those 47,500 churches are praying today. My guess is that most of them are. But here's what I want to understand. Let's look at this passage. We don't need the agreement of the nation. Thank you, Mr. President. And I really mean that. We thank the president. We don't need the agreement of the president. We don't need the agreement of all the other 47,500 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. We can do this on our own. We have power in prayer. We, here in this room and those across the hall in the MPB, we can go before God today and we can pray, and from his temple, from his throne, he's going to hear us. Our prayers today are powerful, powerful things. As you pray today, we're going to call upon you to pray. As you pray today, you need to know, as you pray, you're moving the throne of God with your prayers. He's going to turn to you, and he's going to answer your prayers, because he's your father and you're his child. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. We need help. We need help. So we're going to approach the throne of God with boldness, because he's told us to, because we need his help. As you pray today, you've been told by God through Scripture, when you go to God needing help, you go with boldness, because he's going to listen to you today. Those of you this morning live streaming our time together, pray with us. Pray with us. Pray with boldness, because God is listening to you and God will respond based upon your prayer. Now, as I've indicated, I'm not up here alone today. Four of our deacons are going to lead us: Roger Killingsworth, Mark Regan, Eddie Alrispa, and Wayne Fletcher. And they're going to read an appropriate scripture, and they're going to make comments as they see fit. And then they're going to lead us in prayer. I just want to invite you to do this. As we engage in prayer, those of you at home, those of you over in the MPB, as we engage in prayer, I want you to assume whatever posture is comfortable to you. If you're comfortable standing, then you stand. If you're comfortable raising your hands to God, then do so. If you're comfortable kneeling there and turning around, kneeling at the pew as though it were an altar, then you do that. If you want to come up here to the front, you do that, because I want us to do some serious prayer work this morning. I want us to be serious about going before God. So I want you to assume whatever posture is helpful and meaningful to you. First, Roger Killingsworth is going to come. A prayer for healing. Roger, you come. May not be turned on, Roger. Is the microphone turned on?
It's not on.
There you go. There you go.
Five. There we go. Okay, now we're there. If you have your Bible, I would ask that you turn to Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll look at the first two verses. I'll give you just a second. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And it's on the board, actually. So, indeed, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, and his ear is not too deaf to hear. But your iniquities have built up barriers between you and your God, and your sins have made him hide his face from you. Just a brief backstory. As Isaiah wrote these words, there was injustice in the land. The rich exploited the poor, and rulers used their power to make themselves even more powerful. The people had lifted their hands in prayer, but when God did not intervene, they complained that God had not only not heard their prayers, but he had not extended his hand to rescue them and bring them home. In verse 2, Isaiah laid the responsibility squarely on the people. Isaiah explains God's apparent inactivity or interest in the situation is the result of their unconfessed sin, which is the barrier in the relationship. Our God is holy and righteous, but he hears the prayers of repentant people. As we set aside this time of intercession, we look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. Christ gave us an intercessory model. He prayed for the sick, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for you and I, that we might receive him into our hearts and walk in faith. Today and in the days to come, we will pray as intercessors, not only for our community, but for our country and countries across the world that are engaged in this battle to control and defeat this deadly virus. But we must also accept Isaiah's words that our sins represent barriers between us and God. And as we pray, we must confess our sins and ask God to cover us with his grace and mercy so that our prayers will be heard. Please pray with me. Father God, creator and sustainer of life, we come before you this morning asking that the Holy Spirit examine each heart and reveal to us those sins that have created barriers in our relationship with you. Father, as we confess our failures, we claim the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and ask that you see him as you look upon us and allow us to enter into your presence and hear our prayers. Father, countries and communities across the world are struggling with the impact of this new strain of virus. It's claimed many lives and threatens to claim even more. And we ask that you move your mighty hand and bring an end to the suffering, the fear, and the death it has caused. Father, we're blessed to have the medical facilities and trained doctors and nurses and other health professionals that have become our front line of defense. We praise you for them and ask that you give them protection and stamina and guidance as they diagnose and treat those who have been infected by this virus. Father, we also recognize that there are many countries and communities that are not as well equipped as we. They don't have the sufficient medical supplies to effectively deal with the crisis. We would ask that those needed medical supplies become available to them. And Father, that you shower those healthcare workers with your grace and peace. Father, we humbly ask in your mercy and grace that you give us wisdom and insight. Give the doctors and researchers working toward an effective treatment the knowledge and understanding that they need. We know that only by your hand will a solution be found. The power to stop this pandemic lies in your hands. Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your peace to calm our spirits, your mercy to give us comfort, your grace to give us guidance, and your presence to dispel our fears. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roger. Mark Regan, come and pray for our leaders.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm real blessed in the sense that I get to teach the youth every day or every Sunday. And one of the things that we're talking about right now is found in John 13. And today in our lesson, we talked about how, you know, chapter 13 of John, where Jesus knew what was about to happen to him. And yet he humbled himself so much to wash people's feet. He had everything to worry about. He had everything to be concerned about, but yet he wasn't. His faith was in God. His faith was in the Father to bring him through everything that needed to happen, and he was there to serve others. And so, as we go through this and as we look at our leaders, we need to realize that God did place them in authority over us and that we need to pray for them. You know, the first scripture verse that we're going to go through today is, you know, Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. And so, part of what I told the kids this morning, it would be so easy for me. I love my Constitution and I love everything about it. It would be so easy for me to rail against everything that they're doing right now and say how wrong it is and that's not the right way to handle it. It would be just easy for me to say that. It's easy for all of us to say that, but we're not in that leadership position that they've been put in. And so there's times like this where we have to trust that leadership that they have is, as the scripture verse says, appointed by God and for God as a time like this. And so just as we go out through our day, through our week, to remember to die to self. It's one of the things that I always tell those kids, die to self. It's not about you. Everything is not about you. It's about that other person. As we have to go to HEB or wherever it is, we be in prayer not just for the people there, but for those workers, because they are putting up with so much right now, because we live in a fallen world and not everybody will treat them with the love and respect that we will. And same thing with our healthcare workers. And just be in constant prayer and shower them with the love and grace that Jesus Christ provides. The The next verse that we're also that I've also got here is 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge them, first of all, that petition, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peace and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleasing, pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so as I was asked here today to talk to y'all, you know, I want to also say one of the things regarding this is as we pray for these leaders, as we petition God for the grace and the glory, for his glory to be shown throughout this, that we just revel in his joy. You know, the joy of the Lord our God is our strength. And so we need to be joyful. And one of the things that I've also, you know, thinking about all of this, I realize fear is not a gift of the Spirit. Fear is not a gift of the Spirit. The only fear that God allows to be right is the fear of God. All other fear is of Satan. All other fear is of the devil. And like I said, it's so easy for me to look at this and judge those in authority and be able to say that this is not right, this is not the way to do it, but again, I'm not in their position and I do not have the information that they have. And so we have to trust, we have to love, and we have to just in peace do everything that we can as though Jesus would do it himself. If y'all would just please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to live in this blessed country, to have the freedoms that we have. Heavenly Father, we just lay that at your feet. We just ask that you would guide us and direct us in everything that we do, Lord, that you would just help us to lean upon your Holy Spirit, that we would hear you speak to us, and that we would have the strength and courage to obey. Heavenly Father, we just lift up all of our leaders. We lift up our president, our governors. We just ask that they too will hear your voice. They too will feel the call that you bring them to, Lord. We just ask that every decision that they make, whether they know it or not, that they place it at your feet. Every single person that we see throughout the day, that we're able to just show them the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask you to bless us, ask you to fill us with your joy when our joy is not sufficient. Heavenly Father, your love and grace is sufficient for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mark, thank you. Eddie Arispa, prayer for understanding.
Gracias, Señor, porque en ti confiamos. Thank you, Lord, because in you we trust. Scripture, Psalms 90:12 says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. We pray today that the Lord will give us wisdom in this moment of fear, as the foundations of what we know and live are shaken, that others all around us realize how fragile life is and how real eternity is, and that they would see their need to turn to God. From a personal experience in the late 90s, when the bottom dropped out on our family, Cheryl, myself, our three children, someone gave me the book entitled In the Eye of the Storm, a bestseller by Max Lucado. One of its chapters was entitled Fear That Becomes Faith. I had always thought of fear as something, don't go there. And if you go there, by the way, don't stay there. I learned from Scripture and by way of what Max Lucado would share with me through this book, that fear can be the seed for stronger faith, especially when you know that the only thing you can do is raise your hands and say, Lord, get me out of this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I was reminded, and I am reminded today. Paul said, the safest place to stand in a storm is next to the Father. My brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of a truly horrendous coronavirus storm. We desperately need the Lord as a people, as a nation, as a world. Today, you and I must beg the Lord for help, and we're here to do that. If we think of a sinking ship, faith and hope in Christ is a desperate dive out of that sinking boat of human effort. Our prayer is that God will be there to pull us out of the water. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, I bless you. I thank you for these moments that together we can share, as we do not understand so much that happens in life. We don't like it. We cannot explain it. We don't want it. But yet you have either ordered it or have allowed it. And Father, we embrace these days, these challenges that we're facing as a nation and as a world, with the understanding that, oh, what a mighty opportunity we have to see you at work in the life of thousands, millions of people that need to turn to you for salvation, for forgiveness, for faith and hope that can only come from you. And Lord, as a church body, individually and corporately, we ask that you would use us as we thank you for this virus that has come our way, so that you can be at work in the life of so many people that are lost and desperately need to know you. Give us of yourself, Father, like maybe we've never asked before. Not only to be strong amongst our family, those we work with, our neighborhood, our community, state, nation, and the world, that we would seek you, that we would confess our sins, that we would ask you, Lord, use this for a good that has come our way. Give us faith. Do not allow us to remain in fear, but yet use those moments to reflect a greater strength, a greater hope, a greater faith in you, Father. We bless you again for allowing us these moments and the opportunity to pray and to come together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. We have missionaries trapped in countries all over the world who can't get home now and facing additional danger. Wayne Fletcher is going to come and pray for our missionaries.
Passage of Scripture that I've been given this day is Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that we have a crisis. It shouldn't be a surprise to us any time a crisis rears its ugly head. We live in a lost and dying world. We live in a world that has virtually turned its back upon our Lord. Even among those who claim Christ as their Lord, there is a tendency for people to have become very placid, very, very lax, very lukewarm. William Arthur Ward made the comment that to be a lukewarm Christian is to yawn in the face of God. We are to be passionate. We are to care for others. Our Lord has identified his passion. He wants all to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the reaches at which he says this is in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the world. We have the privilege to serve individuals sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ around us. But we also have the privilege of serving people throughout the world through our missionaries. We have missionaries that are scattered across the globe. And many of them are finding themselves in harm's way. Many of them are finding themselves in places where there is not the health care that we have the benefit of here in the United States. They are finding themselves in situations and in government institutions that make it more difficult for them simply to survive. Not only in that they are challenged because they are sharing a gospel, but also because they are amongst people and governments that are not supporting the health care issue. Whatever your belief is about this coronavirus, I have my own beliefs. I'm a microbiologist. But whatever you believe, there is a crisis going on, whether that is brought on by the virus itself or whether that is brought on by others. It doesn't matter. There is a crisis here. We would have this opportunity, and it is an opportunity, that the gospel of Christ be shared with a lost and dying world. We would ask that through this event, people's eyes are opened and their hearts are opened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the opportunity of hearing that word, of understanding that God loves them and cares for them. And for our missionaries, may they be first protected. May they be held up. May that hedge of protection created by God surround them so that they are allowed to be bold in the sharing of God's word. Let them be so bold that no matter what the circumstances, they may be bold even when there's nothing to hold them up but the hand of God. Let them, as they are scattered throughout our globe, be sharing the word of God. And may this crisis open up the hearts and minds of those that don't know Christ as Savior. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we come before you this hour, we lift up prayers of praise and thanksgiving to you. We praise you, Lord, for your love, for your care, for your concern. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to come before you, to lift our petitions up to you, our requests, that you allow us to make them known to you. Father, as we come before you this hour, we pray first for our missionaries. We pray that you would surround them with your protective hand. Put your hand up on them. Put your hand around them. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. And keep them active in the sharing of your word. And Father, as we have said, as I have said, make them bold in the sharing of your gospel. They are the messengers that we have, that you have, out in the scattered reaches of the world. And we would ask, Lord, that you would open the hearts and minds of the people throughout the globe, that they may come to that place of decision where they would come to know you as Lord and Savior, where they may know the salvation that you so dearly want them to have. Father, guide us and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Wayne. God says this in Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. As the men have already said this morning, no matter whatever else is said and done, we hold on to God. In a previous email, I indicated that none of our other church activities were canceled, so far as I know. I would just say to those of you who are leading those weekly events, Bible studies and grief care and divorce care and so on and so forth, that's up to you. I think it might be wise for us to minimize the number of contacts we have during the week. But you discuss that among yourselves, and you make the decision. I'll support you in whatever you decide. As far as our future plans for our worship services, the only plans we have are God's plans. So we're going to wait and see what God leads us to do. We'll be in contact with you through email throughout the week. So you watch your emails, and we'll let you know what future plans are. Obviously, the officials believe it's going to be around until May the 1st. That's 7 weeks. That's a long time. But if nothing else changes, we'll continue on in this arrangement where half of us will meet in here, half of us will meet in there, and many will meet at home online. So that will be our plan unless the Lord changes it. I'm going to call another audible. The mood here is somber as it should be. It's confident as it should be. I'm going to dismiss us in just a moment with a prayer. We're going to have no invitation. We're not going to play the announcement video. You watch our website, our blogs, and everything else to catch up on the announcements this week. We're going to dismiss after our prayer, and the ushers are going to be standing at the doors for you to deliver or drop your tithes and your offerings there. For those of you who are at home, you can give your offering, your tithe through Secure Give, which is our online method of giving. Thank you all for being here. Let's be very prayerful about this, not only for us, but for the entire nation, all those we love. Thank you for being here. Let's pray together.